that again. That's all they say for 30 solid minutes. They start, and the fruit of thy womb, and over they say that. That's not what prayer is, folks. Jesus taught his disciples how to pray. So in verse 9 of this chapter, chapter 6 of Matthew, he said, after this manner pray you. In this way, after this fashion. He's giving them here the essential ingredients of acceptable prayer, things that go to make up a suitable prayer. It was not something intended simply to be memorized and said by rote in unison by a congregation of people. It's not wrong to memorize Scripture, and this is a part of Scripture. So it's not wrong to memorize. Most of you could quote, I'm sure, what Jesus taught them to say here. But he's giving them the elements that go into acceptable prayer. So he said, after this fashion, in this manner, you're to pray. Our Father. So our prayer is addressed to God, to our Father in heaven. He said, our Father which art in heaven. So that distinguishes between our heavenly Father and our earthly Father. Now we have, Hebrews 12 said we have earthly fathers who chastened us for our good. And the Bible said, you fathers provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We have earthly fathers and we ought to honor them. But we're not talking about our earthly father now. We're talking about the heavenly Father, our Father in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. What does hallowed mean?
Holy.
Holy. God's name is reverent. It's to be held in awe. The word awe, awesome, has been badly misused in our culture. Somebody said that was an awesome ball game last night. That was an awesome concert. It trivializes. The word awesome means full of awe or full of wonder. God is full of wonder. He is to be reverenced by all of us. We're living in a pretty casual age, you know. We've got to where nothing much is special anymore. We've casualized everything, including worship. I used to get a bulletin from a charismatic group in Louisville that advertised that they were proud of the fact that they were casual, about not just about their dress, but about how their worship was conducted, and they even talked about how they prayed. They said, we don't use ponderous theological words when we pray. We might refer to God as Pop or Dad. And we're talking to the Creator of the universe. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Now we need to be on speaking terms with the Lord. We need to be able to come boldly, that is with confidence, to the throne of grace. But we do not need to be irreverent in how we address God. We need to approach him with all the reverence that we can muster. And so that's how you start when you pray. You recognize who God is. I think about David in the 8th Psalm. In the 8th Psalm, he started and ended by saying, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. And then he talked about how God had created the heavens and the earth, the sun and the moon and the stars. And he said, when I see all of that, I'm full of wonder at the fact that God's mindful of me, one little creature down here on this one planet in a galaxy of planets. So when we pray, we need to have reverence in our heart for God when we approach him. But that's not all he said. He said, when you pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Now, I need to comment on that a little bit. Thy kingdom come. The nation of Israel was described as God's kingdom in the Old Testament. But there was a kingdom that the prophets anticipated. Isaiah did. He said the mountain of the Lord's house, God's government, would be established. It'd be set up, put in motion. In the top of the mountains and exalted above the hills, and all nations would flow unto it. And that would take place when the word of the Lord would go forth from Jerusalem. And that, of course, was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. Daniel foresaw a kingdom that cannot be moved, that would come in the days of the Roman Empire. And so the prophets foretold several things, many things, about the coming of a kingdom. John the Baptist came on the scene. Remember in Matthew 3 and 1, it said, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This is not the kingdom of Israel now. This is the kingdom that the prophets anticipated. And Jesus began to preach. In fact, first thing said about his preachings in Matthew 4:17, it said, in those days, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's near, not here yet, but it's soon to be set up. And he gave them some signs and things to look for about the setting up of the kingdom. It would come with power in their lifetime, and it would come with power when the Holy Spirit came upon them. And that took place on the day of Pentecost. So when Jesus was teaching them to pray, and he said, pray that the kingdom come, we don't need to pray now for the kingdom to be established. It already has been. But we do need to pray for the kingdom. Now tell me some things we ought to pray for the kingdom of God. For the spirit, for the growth of it. How does it grow?
By preaching the gospel.
Through the teaching of the word of God, and people are made citizens when they become obedient to it. What else did you say?
I just said that it might grow.
No. What else do we need to pray for the kingdom?
Unity.
Well, that's a big one. For unity in the kingdom. What did Jesus say about a house divided against itself? It'll fall. It will not stand. So we need unity in the kingdom. What else do we need to pray about the kingdom? All right, that it'll be pure, that it'll stand in the truth and not compromise it. What else?
Worship in spirit and in truth.
All right, what else about the kingdom? You remember when Paul wrote to the in 2 Corinthians 11 and reviewed about his manner of life in preaching the gospel and some of the things that had befallen him in that work? He said, beside all those things which cometh upon me daily, the care though that are without, he said, that which comes upon me daily, the care of all the churches. We need to be concerned about our fellow citizens in the kingdom all over the world. When we learn about brethren who have been displaced because of an earthquake,